This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free Blackstone 8-piece accessory kit when you buy a Blackstone 28-inch griddle. Plus, get two free select Craftsman V20 tools when you buy an RP brushless drill and impact driver combo kit. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
I'm John Batchelor with the historian and author of the new book, Casino 44, The Brutal Battle for Rome, James Holland. The battle for Rome begins by challenging the German Gustav Line, the Winter Line, which runs through the mountainous territory as you approach Rome. The biggest mountain of all is Monte Cassino. It towers above what is called the Liri Valley. The Liri Valley is cut through by something very famous if you've ever read Rome. It's called the Via Appia, Route 7. Route 6 goes along the shoreline. They choose Route 7, which is the tougher road given Monte Cassino, and not 6. Why is that, James? Why didn't they take...
Well, I'm sorry, I'm going to correct you there, John. It's 7 is the Via Appia, which is on the coast.
Yes.
And the Via Casalina is Highway 6, which is one that runs through.
I got them backwards. 7 is on the coast. 6.
Yeah. But that doesn't matter. But I mean, the point is, there's the four major roads running up through the leg of Italy. And the Via Casalina, Highway 6, is the one that goes through the town of Cassino. And above it is towering Monte Cassino. And behind that is Monte Caro, which is 6,000 foot high and even bigger. But the Monte Cassino Massive is overlooking the town and overlooking the road and overlooking the Liri Valley. But that's got the widest scope for maneuver. And so it's the easiest one to navigate. But the problem is because it kind of hugs the foot of the mountains, German observers up on the mountains can watch every single move. And you simply can't move an army through the Liri Valley while the Germans are in the high ground above you, overlooking you, because they're directing artillery fire onto that road. And you need the arteries, these roads, to kind of get your mechanization, your trucks and your supplies and men and material and all the rest of it up northwards. So you've got to get that. And of course, the observers up on the mountains are protected by infantry, who are in turn protected by machine guns and mortars and more artillery. And so fighting up a mountain and then winkling out the enemy from their strong positions and hidden positions of defense and their weapons is a really, really difficult task. In winter, that's the challenge facing Mark Clark, whose Fifth Army is covering this part of the line.
The battle kicks off by crossing a river under fire by the British. Is it the whole 10th Corps, just a piece of the 10th Corps going across?
Yeah, no, it's two divisions, so it's the 5th and the 56th with a few supplementary forces. But the idea that Mark Clark has is what he's going to do is he's going to hit the Gustav Line in a series of coordinated attacks. First, the British on the Garigliano down by the coast. This is 10 Corps, British 10 Corps. Then there's going to be the British 46th Division are going to cross the Garigliano a little bit further up towards Cassino. And then the 36th Texan Division are going to cross the River Rapido, which runs into the Garigliano, just a couple of miles south of Cassino. And that'll be the third attack. And at the same time, the French Expeditionary Corps, which are also under Clark's command, are going to do attacks up into the north. So there's a series of attacks, all of which will put the German positions under a huge amount of pressure. That's the idea.
The attack across the rivers is challenging because the Germans are prepared for it, and they've been dug in with mortars and heavy artillery and machine guns as the British cross. And then the Americans attempt the same thing at a place called the Rapido. There are several rivers there. So it's a broad front. But it does not succeed, or does it? Because it does engage the enemy. What were they expecting to follow up with it?
It doesn't succeed in the way that they want. They don't get the big breakthrough that they're hoping for. But it certainly draws off German troops, and it certainly absolutely batters them. I mean, they might not have seen it like this because the Germans' line didn't crumble, but the Germans were absolutely a breaking point, and the casualties they were taking was just horrific. And that's not to say that the Allied casualties weren't awful as well. They were truly horrific. I mean, so in the south, by the sea. British Tank Corps do manage to get across the Garryana. They do push the Germans back. They do get onto the high ground overlooking it. They just can't get the complete breakthrough. The 42nd Division attack doesn't work at all because the flow of the river is too fast and too high. And the Texans just don't use the assets that Clark and Jeffrey Keyes, the Corps Commander, have given to them. You know, so they have something like 350 Sherman tanks and tank destroyers, which are high-velocity guns on track vehicles, all of which have been handed over to them to use as fire-suppressing role as well as an exploitation role. And Fred Walker, the Texas Division Commander, just doesn't use any of them. And so the 36th Division, the Texans, are repulsed rather sort of bloodily. A huge number are taken prisoner. And it doesn't work. But again, you know, it's important to stress that this does put enormous strain on the German position.
The German position, important to mention, Kesselring, the overall commander, and their two armies, the 10th and the 14th. Von Mackensen commands, I believe, the 14th. But behind them all is Hitler, who is amazingly, everywhere I confront him in your books, he manages to contribute in a way that makes it easy eventually for the Allies to win. It might be just I'm reading the wrong parts, but he interferes in the wrong direction all the time.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you have to remember that this is a guy who's never been to Staff College. He doesn't know best, but he's surrounded by sycophants. He's surrounded by yes men, people who tell him what he wants to hear. So, you know, this is the kind of the curse of the autocrat, is that you're never told the truth because you don't want to hear the truth, and the truth is unpalatable. And so you're also deeply suspicious and paranoid and so on and so forth. So none of those are good circumstances in which to make the best decisions. And as I say, the truth is, you know, he was a junior non-commissioned officer in the First World War. He had no real military experience, has no staff training whatsoever. And, you know, he makes terrible decisions. And it's an absolutely terrible decision to stay south of Rome from a German perspective, because it just makes no sense because, OK, you lose Rome, but that's small beer at this stage of the war where, you know, the net is closing around Nazi Germany. They're losing. And a much more sensible solution would have been to retreat to the Pisa-Rimini line, which is about 200 miles north of Rome, and where the mountains kiss the coast either side, you know, in a pretty much uninterrupted way, making it a very, very strong defensive position. Because the bottom line is they've already given up the Foggia airfields, which is the most important strategic bit of real estate in Italy, the previous September. So there's no reason to fight south. And all you're doing is extending your lines of supply, which are being harried by Allied aircraft and all the rest of it. And you know, they're very short of fuel. They're very short of everything. So shorten your lines of supply and bed in the mountains. And, you know, then they would have lost far fewer men and would have had men to go onto the Eastern Front or Western Front or whatever. So it's a kind of an own goal. But obviously, if you're an Allied soldier battling through the mountains, or you're a Texan trying to get across the Rapido, you're not seeing it like that. You're thinking, this corner of Italy that I'm in is absolutely hellish. You know, the rain's coming down, it's freezing cold, it's dark and miserable, and everyone's shooting at me.
Before we go to Shingle, Kesselring, is he in place because he's a yes man? Is that his job?
Yeah, well, he's just sort of evolved there. I mean, you know, he was a very good sort of diplomat in the years where the Germans were allies with the Italians, and but again, you know, he's a Luftwaffe field marshal, not an army field marshal, and he's doing a ground role. And literally every senior German commander by the beginning of February 1944 is saying, we need to retreat. We need to pull back. He is the only one who's saying, no, no, no. The Führer says, I've got to fight for every yard. So therefore, we must all fight for every single yard. It just makes militarily very, very poor judgment, I would say.
We're going to Operation Shingle. James Holland is the author. Casino 44 is the book. Brutal Battle for Rome.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members, your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify.